Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, welcome inside hour two of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios, where right now Andy Dalton has the Cowboys on a ragtag drive, 21 yards away from the end zone, and they could cut this Cardinals lead, still with 4.5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. They could cut this to a 3-touchdown game, Mike Harmon. Watch out. Here come the Cowboys. You think they're done? All they need is a touchdown, onside kick, touchdown, onside kick, touchdown, onside kick, touchdown, and then we have a brand new game. That's all they need.
Yeah, I have a stat for you. This is Bobby Belt TX. He is that's the Twitter handle. He is a field producer for the NFL Network and works with Jane Slater on her podcast.
Well, I hope so. I mean, you can't. I mean, this could be anybody's stat. This could be. It could be. You don't know. This guy could be a lunatic.
Yeah, no, that's why I verified who he was.
All right, very good.
Through 5 3/4 games, 14 turnovers, 6 failed or 5 failed fourth down conversions, and 2 missed field goals. You know, the one that Fenley described so violently earlier.
Yes.
So if you take those all and just say, hey, those are turnovers. They've turned the ball over 33% of the time.
That's not going to win many games. That is New York Jets-like.
Yeah.
That's New York Jets-like right there. That's what that
Andy
is.
Andy Dalton on this drive just surpassed Joe Flacco for the week in fantasy points.
I think Andy Dalton kneeling, you know, and losing a yard would surpass Joe Flacco on fantasy points.
No, he's at 6.6. Flacco finished with 5.44.
You want to talk about bad? Look at the Cowboys tonight, right? How bad things are. They're going to lose, and they're going to go to 2-4, still be in first place. Their point differential will be like minus 40. Oh, that's really bad.
Hey, no, baby.
Yeah, they're in first. Then you look at the Jets, and you go, oh, their point differential is minus 110. Oh, wow, that's twice as bad as the next worst team in the NFL. Minus 110.
You know, Jamal Adams could have saved you.
We could have minus 102 points. So the Cowboys are getting thumped. Maybe they get in the end zone. We'll keep you posted on this. But the big thing about this, to say, okay, what kind of night has it been for the Dallas Cowboys? Like, why are they losing 28-3 or 31-3? Why is it this bad? Well, this is the play that kind of sums up everything for the Cowboys.
Snap to Murray. Drops back to throw. Looking deep. Airing it out. Middle of the field. He's got Kirk. It's caught at the 40. Kirk at the 30. The 20. 15. 10. 5. Touchdown. An 80-yard strike. Kyler Murray to Christian Kirk. 2 touchdowns for Kirk now in the game.
Cardinals Radio Network on the call. And here's the thing, Mike. You talked about this play and broke it down, how this play shouldn't have happened. And clearly, the Cowboys look like a team that just showed up for the game tonight. And that really surprised me, that they didn't galvanize themselves this week. Hey, there's no Dak. We're playing together for them. They have looked terrible. And this is something that really is, you back away and go, are they going to quit on the season now? I mean, really. Because the thing is, they could quit on the season and still win the NFC East. That's how bad it is. They could just show up and go through the motions and still wind up winning 7 games and winning the NFC East. But you wonder, is this one of those games where, okay, they need a week to get their heads right because Dak is out and, all right, we weren't really ready mentally enough for this game and things will get better next week? Or is this how it's going to be? The Cowboys have just said, you know what, blanket. We don't have Dak, and this is the kind of effort you're going to get from the Cowboys every single week. That's a huge question, because I would have never thought we would be talking about this part of it. Boy, the Cowboys are just showing up, and they may wind up being just like the Jets or just like a team that the season's over for, and they're going to go through the motions the next 10 weeks. I'd have never thought we'd say that, but that's clearly a possibility after tonight.
Well, we talked about on Friday, and as we do on this show every week, when we start talking about predictive analysis of the next game, part of it comes back to going to see the damn wizard and getting some heart. okay, just to put it in its basest of terms, right? Got to go see The Wiz, Brian Cox yelling at, and it was part of NFL films and all the hits. It was here on Fox Sports Radio for years. Is when you get embarrassed or you have a big loss like that, normally you show up, right? We saw it. Raheem Morris is the new interim coach of the Falcons. What do? Matt Ryan, 4 touchdowns. They played a great game. We saw it the week before. Romeo Crennel, and I'll give him credit. I kind of like the two-point conversion call this week, just saying, hey, we're going to win this game. And then they made a bad play call. That's a whole other thing. But in his first game as the head coach, the interim head coach, when they fired Trader Bill, what happened? They came out and they balled out and they won. And so you thought with losing Dak, this would be KC getting embarrassed by the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
They gained 400 yards this afternoon. It was sloppy. They didn't have the operational efficiency to which you become accustomed, but succeed and proceed. You win. The Cardinals tonight against a Dallas team that, again, I guess you look at the NFC East saying, hey, you know what, we just have to tread water because every other team stinks. But this is an opportunity to go out as professionals and play your best football, clean it up. And to some degree, you know what, they have. Kyler Murray, he's got two plays, that Kirk touchdown, and then he hit DeAndre Hopkins, who he ran free in the – it was kind of funny because the defensive back kept trying to turn, anticipating the next move from Hopkins, and he guessed wrong repeatedly. It ended up being a 60-yard reception, so that's 2 for 73, not nearly as bad as it looked earlier. otherwise, he's 9 of 24 for 188 yards overall. That's 108 yards, on the, 140 yards on those two plays, I should say. So 7 completions – for 48, it doesn't matter. It's 31-3.
Well, this is how bad the Cowboys' defense is. Look, it's not like we've walked around going, well, you know, their defense we know has been terrible, which is why we have said all along the Cowboys are a 9-7-ish team.
Right.
They're a 500-ish team. As long as you understand who they are and you don't think unrealistically that, oh, the Cowboys are great. No, as long as you peg them correctly, you understand, okay, yes, the defense is terrible. The offense can score points. They should be okay under Andy Dalton. All of these things should be the truth. But they'd still be a 500-ish team, and that's still who they could wind up being because, look, their next two games are the Giants and Washington, and those are two games they can win and suddenly think – but boy, we're going to know everything about this team in the next two games. Like, is tonight the night we go, boy, it really looks like they quit on the season, or was it, hey, they needed a week to get their heads right, and now they're back against teams they can beat on their way to 500-ish and winning the NFC East? I mean, we're at that critical juncture for the we're going to – go still stay all in, or we're going to punt on the season for the Cowboys. I mean, that I can't believe we're saying that after last week, but this is where we are.
No, that's it. I mean, Kyler Murray put some balls up for grabs. He's not been very efficient with the football. You had your chances. You got run over for 186 yards. Kenyon Drake and Murray's got 74 of his own. Drake at 89 and a score at this point, and Murray walked one in as part of his night. So for fantasy purposes, monster evening, and it looks good, a 31-10 lead as the Cowboys finally get on the board. But it's just one of those opportunities to show out on Monday Night Football. You would think home crowd, you actually have some fans in attendance. Andy Dalton, give him a bit of support. And look, the offensive line is Swiss cheese, right? We talk about all the injuries coming into the game. You already had lost both your tackles, your centers, new. He's had issues. And then Martin goes out today. So it's just been a carousel of walking wounded. But Ezekiel Elliott putting the ball on the ground twice, and the announcers with the audacity of saying he's trying to do too much. What? Hold on to the football. Once it's in your hands, what the hell else do you have to do? Hold on to the football. That is your job. And he failed to do that in the first half. He even got benched. You saw Tony Pollard come in and give them a little bit of a boost. But, I mean, it's so bad that they can't even set up a screenplay. Andy Dalton can't set his feet. On this last drive, he could, because, as we know, up so large an amount, you're going to change up the defense that you're calling. But overall, I mean, I'm just disappointed with the effort. you know, everybody's doing the Dak versus Andy Dalton nonsense in sports media and already a bunch of columns filed. Like, nobody was saying they were equal, but you didn't expect them to come out and show no heart. And that's what we got tonight.
No, and that's why it's so surprising. And, you know, this is going to be a week where Jerry Jones cracks a whip, because this is when you do it, right? It's just like when – if you ever see a manager in Major League Baseball when he starts taking out frustrations and talking about his players, right, or saying, we need to do this, or some guys are going to lose their jobs. Like, you know, you normally don't get that from a manager. But when do you see the manager say it? When you have a – two series coming up against two of the worst teams in the league. Because if you say that and you call your team out and you wind up losing the next two series, well, then the manager is going to lose the team. So you say it when you have winnable games coming up to put everybody on notice. You play well, you rebuild confidence, and you get some wins. That's when, whenever you see a manager lose it and criticize his team, trust me, it's because he knows the schedule and it's bad teams coming up. And that's what you're going to see for the Cowboys this week. It's going to be that Jerry Jones week. Mike McCarthy is going to be pissed because, you know, he knows his job is at stake. You're going to see a lot of, we got to get this done now, Cowboys, or you're going to lose your job, or you're going to lose your job, because the next two games they have are winnable games against the Giants and Washington. All right, that's when you do it, right? That's when you do it. I'm sorry. You have Washington and the Eagles. These are games that you should be able to win. And if you can't win these games, you're not going to win the NFC East. So your whole season is in these next 2 weeks, and they should be able to walk away with a couple of wins here and really be in control of the division at 4-4. And then you get a couple of tough games. The Steelers, the Ravens are coming up, but you still have an easy enough schedule where you can win. But trust me, this is going to be an all hands on deck. This is it, now or never week for the Cowboys. Everybody will talk about it, because it's got to be with these games they got coming up that are two winnable games. Got to be.
Philadelphia at 1-4-1 is your closest competition. You have a quarterback and not much else. Miles Sanders is now hurt. Zach Ertz is going to miss a month. Goddard is already out. You've got Fulgham is the only receiver. He's becoming a name player. That's where we're at in this season. The Cowboys, it's their division to lose, but Jerry needs to crack the whip.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. Right now, just under 3 minutes left to go. Cardinals have the football. They lead the Cowboys 31-10. They have a first down, so they can just about run the clock out. They're going to improve to 4-2 on the season, where the Cowboys are going to fall to 2-4 and still be in first place in the NFC East. This is how it goes. Going to have more on this game coming up in a few minutes. Jason Lockin 4 is going to stop by with us and break everything down. We have other big stories from the NFL this week as well. We have Tom Brady defeating Aaron Rodgers. We have Baker Mayfield. We got lots of stuff to get to here on the show. Quick reminder, when a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks, even if you don't see a train. Stop. Because trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA. So keep right here. We got all that coming up, plus our official World Series picks coming up later on this hour. Mike's Rays and the Dodgers.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. Just under 2 minutes left to go Monday night, and it is over in Dallas. Dallas has Gary Hogaboom is now in playing quarterback for them. They trail the Cardinals 38-10. Dallas is going to run a couple of plays, and that's going to do it. So, how big a deal are the Cowboys getting blown out like this? Well, joining us now on the hotline, speaking of a man who knows about blowouts because he watches Syracuse every Saturday just like me, CBS Sports NFL insider extraordinaire, friend of the show. You can follow him on Twitter at Jason Lockenfora. It is Jason Lockenfora. What's happening, man?
Hey, that was Babe Laufenberg. That was not Gary Hogaboom. Let's keep this all on the up and up. You know, we don't want to cast aspersions upon anyone who is not deserving of them, although anyone who collects a paycheck from the Dallas Cowboys is pretty much deserving of them these days. But, yeah, you know,
What
this
is it
game
with that
happened, time? And it happened.
Did they look like a team that – because, look, we talked about this a few minutes ago, that the next 2 weeks are going to tell you everything you need about the Cowboys, right? It's two winnable games. It's Washington. It's Philadelphia. Was this there still discombobulated, or was this just, hey, Dak is out. We've quit on this season?
No, they're not – look, they weren't – this is the part that cracks me up. They stunk with Dak. Like, they sucked with Dak. They were not competitive. They couldn't get any stops. Occasionally when they were down by multiple scores, they aired it out and got a whole bunch of chunk yards and explosion yards. You know, they're losing outfit. They've been a losing outfit forever. I mean, it's just such a novelty to me, like how every year there's this sort of subsect of people who are like, oh, you better look out for Dallas. Like, this might be the year that Dallas wins a game in January. And, like, man, have you seen their roster? And now they got Alton Smith. And, ooh, wow, look out. I mean, they're going to, like, they're going to attack your quarterback and they're going to do all this nasty stuff. Really? Really? Really?
Well,
for
I mean,
real?
They're still ahead.
Like,
the
they're
going to
stop the run and they're going to actually be able to defend tight ends. And they're going to be like a big boy operation, and they're going to be well-run and well-managed. And they're not long in the tooth and pretty much falling apart in the offensive line.
They are. Correction. They don't have an offensive line.
Like, the whole thing's a joke. It's a fallacy. And, you know, it's like it's an iconic emblem. Like, it's great. I love the star. Like, it looks good on a helmet. Looks good, you know, on the 50-yard line. All that stuff is great. It's wonderful. They suck bad. They're not even remotely close to being a competitively built football team.
Yes, they but they can win the division right now.
And they are not anywhere close to not being a joke. And, you know, whatever, like, go to their games, sit in the stands. You'll be one of the lucky 20,000, or I guess you're lucky. Like, I guess that's where you want to be. I wouldn't be there, but have fun, man. Like, take it in. It's a spectacle of, like, nothing. They're going nowhere. The Eagles are going to win that division by two or three games. And not that the Eagles are anything great. The Eagles are nothing special, but my God, the NFC least. It's such an abject failure. It's so bad. And the Cowboys kind of embody the worst of what they are, because we talk about them all the time, right? And people ask me about them all the time. And they're the Cincinnati Bengals. Like, they're nothing.
You want to go, Jason, or you want
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I think he had some more left in him.
I was waiting for my headset to get – it was in flames. Flames in the side of my face with
it
all the Cowboys.
It was melting. Scorching hot.
If you guys disagree with anything I said, I would – like, I'll engage. I'm more than happy to have a, you know, jovial back and forth. But I kind of think you know what I'm saying is
it's
reality.
Yeah.
No,
it's about as long as it deserves.
Look, we've talked the Cowboys. Pete, you're right, because this is another point we've made, is that as long as you understand who the Cowboys are every year, they're an 8-8-ish team.
Yeah.
And that's kind of who they are. And as long as you understand that, then everything with the Cowboys makes sense. And clearly this is a year where 8-8, you could win the NFC East by four games. So for the Cowboys, they're still in it despite the fact that, look, the Giants won their first game of the year yesterday. They're a game out of first place.
I mean, they are and they aren't, though, because, like, they're 8-8 if everything falls their way. You know what I mean? Like, if they stay healthy and if they run the ball really well, and if, you know, the breaks go their way and it's their year, then they might max out at 8-8. But that, like, that's the thing that tears me up about them, is like they're like a 6-10 team, or at best they're 9-7. But that's who they always are. And everybody gets so fired up about, like, well, the rest of the division isn't that good. Yeah, they're not that good. They're nothing special at all. They haven't been anything special at all in decades. I mean, all right.
Just let it go.
I'm going to step back and
take a deep breath.
Collect myself.
Now, let me ask about the earlier
game. Honestly, when have they been a complete outfit? Like, when in the last 20 years has anybody who really spends a lot of time assessing this stuff been like, man, Dallas, this might be Dallas's year?
No, this is when Tom Hanks was winning Oscars for Forrest Gump.
You got to go back to Dez Bryant. And the fourth down where I'm going to try to spike the ball on the goal line, and it's incomplete. That was the end of the Dallas Cowboys. That was the year. That was the last year they had. You could say, boy, maybe this is the Cowboys' year.
And that was when all of their offensive linemen were in their prime. They were all in their mid-20s. Nobody was making any real money yet, right? You had Zeke, year two, and he's happy-go-lucky. Yeah, that was their moment in time, but that was a long time ago. And they have regressed so far since then, and they stink on both sides of the ball.
It's a lot of anger. It's Jason Lock and Forrest.
I don't even care. I have no dog in this fight. I mean, it's just reality. I guess what this really is just I've been asked about the Dallas Cowboys so many times in so many different forms. Since last January, and I'm just can they win? Let's see them win something. Let's see them even hint that they're something that we should be talking about year round, and then I'd be glad to talk about them year round.
Now Dak and his contract. No, I'm just kidding, Jason. Listen, there was a game. There was a game earlier today. What did we learn about the Bills and the Chiefs from earlier?
Well, the Bills are not a very good football team. I mean, I know they're 4-2, and they put some wins together. But that team, when they're right, is built around a defense that is pretty much airtight against the run. And they've also put together one of the best secondaries in the league with linebackers who can really cover, linebackers who can move, can find holes, fill up space, and can play the ball. And I know that Edwards and Milano have been hurt, but I don't know, man. I mean, it was really cute, when September 17th, all these people were handing Josh Allen the MVP award. Wow, he looked awesome for 2.5 games. I think Josh Allen's going to win the MVP. Oh, well, yeah, I mean, he might, but he also probably will not. But okay, let's have this quasi-engagement. Let's have this faux correspondence about this, MVP season for Josh Allen. And they're a decent football team, but what really scares me about them is they have not been anywhere close to the their baseline performance from 2019 on defense, let alone their peak performance from 2019 on defense. And that has to scare people. I mean, that's what their identity, their id was supposed to be was, well, you can't run on us on first down, and you can't pass on us on second down, and you can't pass on us on third down. So what are you going to do? And we're going to chase your quarterback all over the place for, 15 to 17 snaps a game. Yeah, that's not what's going on. That whole division is kind of crazy, and maybe right now, 6 weeks in, Miami, I mean, I'm kind of biting my tongue as I say this, but maybe Miami is kind of going to mess around and make something happen in the second half of an NFL season for the first time in a long time. But New England's offensive line is really beat up right now, and they need to get Cam practicing day in, day out. But they don't have anybody to throw the ball to. I mean, they have no downfield presence whatsoever. And, I think Buffalo's a good team. They're not great. So, you know, we'll see what happens when they start playing within that division. There hasn't been that many games played within that division. But I just don't think Buffalo is – I think they're still in that good, not great category. And Kansas City probably is great, and Pittsburgh probably is close to great, and Baltimore might be close to great. So I think that's going to kind of leave Buffalo chasing the pack like they have been the last few years.
Jason Lock and Four with the CBS Sports NFL Insider, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. And all right, so I ask you this, Jason, because I asked Mike this earlier, and he went with the answer I thought it was going to be. If I said to you, okay, you had to bet money that the rest of this season, the Jets either go 0-16 or they win at least one game, what are you betting on?
It's hard to go 0-16. I mean, I can't.
I don't know. I mean, it's pretty easy for this Jets team to go 0-16.
They're terrible. They're terrible. Charles Barkley says they're terrible. I don't know what they can hang their hat on. I don't know what they do well. I don't know what their calling card is. But, man, it's – wow. It's hard not to win a game for 3 months.
Yeah, but nothing. They're not going to change anything. They still they decided to go through the motions. Their coaching staff hates each other. They're not good coaches.
Yeah.
There's nobody that they can play against where you can say, boy, that could be a win. This was the week, and they got shut out. This is the one week, and
well,
they got shut out.
I don't know if this is. And I have to honestly, like, I'd have to look at their schedule. Like, what NFC division do they match up with? Because, like, I don't know off the top of my head, like. It's not the NFC least, right? Because the NFC least matches up with the AFC North, which is a total mismatch. That's bad news for the NFC.
They've got
least.
The NFC West.
Yeah, that's like that.
Yeah, that's four
that's
losses. That's the best division in football. So that's four losses.
Yeah.
Look. They're a horrid operation right now. Like, they are. Like, they're not ready for prime time. They're not ready for 1 p.m. on Sunday with 9 other games in the regional window.
Jets, internet only. All right, well, that's where I got to go to watch that one.
Treat it like a London game, 9:30 a.m.
I you know what? They have a left tackle of the future, and they have nothing else.
No, I said
sums it up,
the
actually.
Jets have three or four players. This is how bad it is. They have three or four players that could start for any team, right? They have Mekhi Becton, who could be great. Like, that's how good he could be. Jameson Crowder, and then possibly Quinnen Williams and Marcus May, and that's it. That's it. That's a list of players who could start on other teams.
Yeah, no, it's like it's an abject failure wrapped in a disaster, wrapped in a fortune cookie of misery. Like it's yeah. They're horrible. Like, they are a truly, truly horrible operation. And in a year where there's 10 teams that have won one game or fewer, this is the crazy thing to me. Like, the haves and the have-nots are so separated this year. Like, even more so than the normal year. They're the worst of the worst. Like, it's like they're abject failures. And then Jacksonville is kind of sort of nipping at their heels a little bit, but only not that much. And then there's a whole nother, like, subsect of like 5 to 7 teams that fall in under them. But for the Jets to have separated themselves from the pack in a year that is so divisive, chef's kiss. C'est bon. Magnifique. It's unbelievable. It really is kind of unparalleled.
You can follow him on Twitter at Jason Lockenfora. That is at Jason Lockenfora for French lessons as well, or NFL
Breakdown.
Yeah,
well, that's the extent of it right there. Parlez-vous français.
Thanks a bunch, Jay. Appreciate it as always, buddy.
Thanks,
we'll
guys.
Talk to you next week.
Hang in there, buddy.
Woo, he was on fire tonight. My goodness, yeah. Jason Lockenfora rolling, bringing the heat. He's like he's like the Emperor, absolute power.
Yeah, that was next level. Right? Let me interject for about 30 seconds, much like when Samuel L. Jackson was being accosted by Hayden Christensen, just enough time for the Emperor to reload and come back over the top. No, they suck! I'm like, whoa!
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
This is Papa Roach, right?
Yes!
Yeah. This song is like 15 years old.
Whoa!
I feel like this came out a couple of years ago. This is an old song, Papa Roach. I want to say this at least 15 years old, Tyshirt.
How dare you age shame a song, Jason?
You were probably listening to this when you were 12.
I was!
I remember.
I'm telling you, hang on, Papa Roach.
Look it up.
Roach, Last Resort. The year was
99?
2000.
Oh!
So it's 20 years old.
Wow.
This song came out when you were 6.
Listening to an album that mom didn't need to know about. Never heard.
Tyshirt's walking around the house eating his strained peas and carrots, singing, "This is my last resort." Oh,
I was yelling it.
He ain't that young.
It is the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. Quick reminder, when a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks, even if you don't see a train stop, because trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA. Well, we have more NFL on the way in a few minutes with I can't wait to get our next guest on coming up in 10 minutes to talk about this Cowboys abject disaster on Monday Night Football. I can't wait. We have
Alex
to have
the dump button ready.
Yeah, we got to have the dump button ready.
You say dump?
It could actually happen. But
I mean, that was the performance. It was, you know.
Yes.
Dumpable.
Yes, it was. Yes. But have the dump button ready for in a few minutes. But with the World Series starting tomorrow, no real days off. We're going to take 24 hours off and let both the Dodgers and Rays pitching staffs, who their arms are hanging by a thread, we're going right back out there to play. Don't worry, we're getting right back out there tomorrow night. It's going to be Glasnow against Kershaw in Game 1 of the World Series. It was some kind of ending to the AL and NLCS this weekend with the Rays holding on, the Dodgers in a game that was so tense. I don't know how Dodger fans watched the top of the ninth inning yesterday, knowing that, oh my goodness, it's so close, it could all fall apart. Is Urias going to pitch? Is Kenley Jansen going to come in? It was so full of tension. It's everything you wanted a baseball game to be, and it felt like a real October, and it was that kind of moment.
And I'll tell you this, though, Jason, that was the first time I agreed with any of the pitching changes by Dave Roberts. So there.
Yeah, I said, you got it. Urias was pitching so well, you had to leave him in. You had to leave him in and then have Jansen just in case. So I said, let me tweet this out so I can get out in front of this. This was a good move, and it turned out to be the right one. Look, Urias was pitching great, right? He was it. I mean, you may now have found a guy that you have to save. He can't come in the fifth inning anymore. He may be a guy that comes into the eighth. He may be your guy to come in for 6 or 7 out saves in the World Series. He may be the new Kenley Jansen for that. But what was said before on the show doesn't matter anymore, because now we have the World Series that we have to pick.
Wait, well, wait Mike's just a Rays, second, McMahon.
Mike's Rays, who
and
he
his Dodgers.
Hang on. Mike's Rays, who we picked to go to the World Series before the playoffs started, have made it. Doesn't matter what I picked. It matters where we're at right now. Dodgers
Mike
and
picked
the Rays.
The Dodgers and the Rays before the season.
Dodgers
and then
and
before
the, Rays.
The playoffs.
Yeah, listen, what you picked is great. What I picked doesn't matter because it's about where we're at right now. So Dodgers and the Rays. Look, this series, the Dodgers are going to win in six games. All right. Tampa Bay is a nice and a solid team, but their lineup is not nearly what the Atlanta Braves lineup is. I told you those are the two best teams in Major League Baseball, and they were separated by one game, one run. I told you the series would go seven. It was as close as it could be. All right, now, the Rays bullpen is pretty solid, but it's gettable. The Dodgers lineup is relentless. This is one of those cases where good hitting beats good pitching, especially when the pitching is gassed. And that's the big deal, is that now, even though they only played a 60-game regular season, these playoffs have been an incredible wave of tired going on with rubber arm pitchers who now had to pitch every single day, and they're cooked. All right, if the Rays had been able to take care of the Astros when they were up 3-0 and they win in four or five games and everybody gets rest and you can line up your rotation and your relievers have time to rest, I might pick this series different. But the Rays relievers, because the Astros came back, they are just as gassed as the Dodgers. And the Dodgers have a better lineup, so I'm going Dodgers in six over the Rays.
Yeah, that was where I started. That's where I'll stay. In six, Dodgers over Rays. I'm curious to see what Glasnow's got for game one. He has struggled quite a bit. 4.66 ERA, 25 strikeouts against 8 walks. So that ratio is pretty solid, but he is hittable. He is gettable. What will be fun to watch in this series is you've got two teams that do love to flash the leather, which is, you know, rare that you can say that you're going to see runs taken off the board. It's going to come down to base running and seeing how deep you can get those starters to go. And so for game one, everybody's already wringing their hands going, all right, what happens at the top of the sixth with Clayton Kershaw? What do we got? Where are we at?
No, then it's Urias coming in. Hey, you can pitch the last four innings, right, and save this? Yes, got it. We're good.
Just wish there was one or two more days off. But you know what? A little bit of a home field advantage. Obviously, Mookie Betts knows all the angles by this point.
So there it is. Mike, you could go all the way wire to wire here. And Dodgers Rays, here we are, getting set for tomorrow night. Clayton Kershaw with yet another chance to redeem himself and rewrite his legacy. 877-99 on Fox is the phone number, 877-996-6369. Coming up next, back to the NFL. Two huge games on Monday night, one big disappointment. I can't wait to talk to our next guest. This is Fox.